This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it on WEEI.
We got problems, boys. Boys and girls.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. We now officially have controversy at Fenway Park.
Looks like a nice job on the rejoin music there, producer David. Looks like someone does not want to be taken out. That's right. You heard earlier, fresh audio from Fort Myers. Rafael Devers, first through his interpreter, and then through, well, Rafi Devers, who's not necessarily the anointed spokesman or the best at English, if you will. It's not his native language, and it's totally understandable, saying that he will not exactly give up. In fact, he's not going anywhere. There, insert your Leonardo DiCaprio memes from Wolf of Wall Street. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not leaving third base. He refuses to go anywhere. Oh, man, guys, I miss the days of Bregmania when the good vibes were rolling in Red Sox Nation, and that's why we can't have nice things anymore. And that's the first thing that we're going to discuss here right out the batter's box, leading off on WEEI Afternoons. Andy Hart has the day off today. No Ted Johnson as well. So in their place, you got Nick Fitzy Stevens, your old pal here on the mic, as well as the Ball Hawk, Dan Ball. And of course, it wouldn't be a holiday Monday on a wintry, windy afternoon without a trip to the Lion's Den, John Lyons. Boys, how are we today?
Good afternoon there, Fitzy. How are you, my good man?
I'm feeling absolutely fantastic. I was excited for a show, fellas, chock full of some Patriots nuggets, some musings about Alex Bregman and if the good vibes were still rolling and what that meant for the Sox heading into the season and should we validate all those accelerated expectations. Some Four Nations and crapping all over the NBA All-Star Game debacle that was last night's broadcast, maybe with a sprinkle of SNL 50. And we, John Lyons, have ourselves a big fat controversy on our hands. Out goes all of the excitement from Bregman coming in with the elevated win expectations, shoring up the defense. And now we have a gold glover who rightfully belongs at third base and someone who is overpaid to appease the fans and is a mighty left-handed stick saying that he's not going anywhere. Why, go ahead, John, and just type in Rafael Devers defense and Gemini as part of the Google application says first. Rafael Devers' defensive rankings have been below average throughout his entire career. So what are we going to do, John? What are we going to do?
So, Fitzy, you said you want to go back to the good feelings of Bregmania. So really, just we'll go back to a couple hours ago. I mean, this is nuts. And look, first of all, we're going to get into the Devers comments. It's, to me, just delusional and selfish. But I think a lot of this is going to hinge on Christian Campbell. And we've been hearing for years about the kids. They're coming up. It was the big four. Now it's the big three. If Christian Campbell is ready to play major league second base at the end of spring training, and there's a real possibility he will be, then he should be your second baseman. Bregman should be your third baseman. And Devers should be your DH. That's the best thing for the baseball team. Right now, on February 17th, you're probably better off having Bregman at second and Devers at third because their middle infield defense has been terrible for 2 years. However, I'm not going to be surprised if 3, 4, 5 weeks from now, Christian Campbell's ready to go. And then if that happens and Christian Campbell's ready to go and he's at second and Bregman's at third and your highest paid player, who a lot of offensive metrics compare him to a mid-20s Ted Williams, and that's not an exaggeration, you can look into it, is going to throw a tantrum because he's the worst third baseman in the major leagues, not an exaggeration either, because he doesn't want to be a DH. I mean, that is just, it just hang a sign around your neck that just says, I'm selfish. That's really, that's what we're talking about here, is a guy who, your highest paid player, your best hitter, the only other guy in your lineup, by the way, that's won a World Series besides Bregman. And he, if Christian Campbell's ready, he's still not going to move? I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's a great point, John. And we'll get to what Alex Cora had to say about all of this in just a couple of moments. You guys can join us at any point during the show today by texting in or dialing up for a phone call and speaking to or being read aloud by producer David at 617-779-7937. Text and phone line wide open for you guys and your input all day long on the developing Rafi Devers story, Four Nations, the All-Star Game, anything Pats-tastic, of course. Whatever you guys want to discuss, we're here for you till 6 p.m. And, of course, you can also consume the show on the Odyssey app. Download it today, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Like my pal Vinny down in Holbrook, who just texted me, said, I'm listening on the Odyssey app. My God, I absolutely loved what Alex Cora had to say today. That's true leadership. That's what this team needs. And you can jump in the Twitch chat at twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. So, Dan, John says this is so infuriating right from the jump because it's selfish. Now, I don't know exactly how much has been asked of Rafi Devers over the last couple of years. We have called him the reluctant spokesman on a team that has a dearth of true leadership. I guess maybe the last real leader on the team might have been Justin Turner a couple of years back. A lot of us opined for them to hold on to him because he played defense all over the infield. He did anything they asked of him. Dependable right-handed stick, and he was always available, as Bradfoe would tell us,
right,
for a good quote, sound bite, or some proper leadership. The Sox suffered for that last year, even though the team seemed a little more talented. Now, just when it seems like we're turning the ship in the canal, we got John Henry lighting cigars, we got Red Sox fans buying up tickets, even Sam Kennedy seems like he's slept more than 4 hours for an evening. Now we've got this act of, as John Lyons called it, selfishness. I don't disagree.
No, I can't either. And the thing that is so disheartening for me, coming off of the fervor, there's no way that Rafi Devers doesn't look around and recognize the excitement that's going on in Red Sox Nation right now. He's seen the best of the best in 2018. He came in right at the forefront of some of the most exciting Red Sox games that we've seen in the last 5-10 years. He's seen the good. He's seen the bad. Now he sees a complete 180 in the way that fans are feeling, the way that it seems like the players are feeling. You've seen the videos coming from spring training. It looks electric. It seems like everybody's in very good spirits
right
now.
People are actually there.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing.
I'm not even trying to be a jerk.
And not because tickets have been given to them or they bought into a package or because it's a nice place to enjoy a hot dog and a cold beer on a Fort Myers Tuesday, John.
And look at the conversation that we're having about it. For the first time in a very long time, people came onto these microphones and talked positively about the Red Sox after that kind of signing. He recognizes that, and still the first media availability that you have after it, you have to plant your flag in the ground and say, no, this is not going to impact the way that I go about business. My question to Rafi Devers and Fitzy, I would ask this, I guess, indirectly of you is, what have you really done other than get paid a lot of money and swing a decent stick? I'll give you that. What have you done defensively and as a leader on this team other than just be here to earn the right to plant your flag in the ground and say, no, that's my position, and not answer the question, I'm just here to do what helps this team win? What has he really done enough to earn the right to be able to say that right now?
Aside from a couple of clutch home runs and proving paternal ownership over Garrett Cole, not much.
Yeah, honestly, and look, he's an elite offensive player. Yeah, I give him that.
Is,
but
sure.
You mentioned 2018.
Yep.
If you go back to 2018, he was good. I think a big homer and was a game 4 or 5 of the World Series. elite offensive player, but in the 2018 team, on the leadership pecking order, if you will, he was, what, fifth? I mean, you had Betts, Bogarts, J.D. Martinez. I mean, Steve Pierce was the World Series MVP. And of course,
the days of Steve Pierce.
You had Chris Sale on the
modern Mike Lowell.
Right. So, like, on the leadership pecking order, he was, like, fifth. And then even in 2021, when they went to the World Series, you could make the argument Kyle Schwarber was as much of a leader and Chris Sale was still here on that team as Devers was. So he's never been that guy. And look, it's okay. You don't have to be a leader. You can be a highly paid guy and not be a leader. We've seen it many. Manny Ramirez was a highly paid guy and not a leader, right? Like, you can be that, but when you come out and you say things like this that you know are going to be detrimental to the team. And the other thing is, it's not like Alex Bregman just all of a sudden became a free agent 2 days ago when they signed him. They've been talking to Bregman since November. Like, Devers didn't have the foresight to be like, wow, this could affect my position. This could make a difference on how I'm going to handle things in the lineup. Maybe I should prepare for that. And it's like he's surprised that Bregman is there. I mean, they've been talking to him since November, and you didn't think ahead? And this is what we're getting now? It's just, it's crazy to me.
This was a good point that Jones made a little bit earlier on the midday program with Mego filling in for Rich Keefe. He said that this is kind of now, there was a little bit of a FAFO, a Fenway around and find out factor that kicked in here. If they had just not dilly-dallied with the salary and just gone up in AAV and in years early on for Bregman, because you knew how badly Cora wanted him, you knew how well he would have fit in on the team, and how badly he wanted to come to where he hits best in the American League, and as he's playing out the back nine of his MLB career with two World Series, then maybe, just maybe, you would have had a whole offseason for Raffy to pout and say, nope, screw you guys, I'm taking my bats and my chocolate cakes and I'm going home. And instead, they would have been able to smooth things out, get him back in, discuss it. Maybe they have a rotation at third. Maybe they sell him on the idea over a long period of time. Like, look, someone else used to play defense, and we got away with it for a couple games in the 2004 World Series and in 2007, but don't think that we weren't biting our nails the whole time. This man became a legend for being just a powerful left-handed bat from the Dominican and won David Ortiz. Hell, fly David Ortiz in wearing that fancy shirt that he wore in the video that went viral of him getting the call that he made it to the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame, and have him explain what a legend Raffy Devers can come if he's only a DH. This whole entire idea that this is what I've always done and this is what I'm going to continue to do is just so infuriating, and it is such the epitome of the modern athlete. You know, some may say, like, well, if Larry Bird or someone crossing sports, everyone, pardon me. But, you know, if someone else said, this is where I play and this is what I do, if they were so great at it and they were a legend and you were going to suffer for it, then okay, I can understand why. But when Raffy Devers averages like 18 errors a season and is a league leader in negative defensive metrics, and now you can convince him, or at least he should understand, A, this is where I can go and not worry about butchering ground balls at third, but rather just hitting more moonshots off of Gerrit Cole and the likes of the league, and we can go places. And B, I'm a player on a team, and is there anything that is more, even though it's individualistic, than team-oriented as baseball? And now you can contribute to the greater good while getting paid $30 million a year? Like, Dan, honestly, my head is spinning right now. It's in a whirlwind of frustration on so many levels.
Well, to your point about the team, and well, this is what I've always done. Why should I be bothered to change what my routine has been and what I've been doing as a professional? What's been going on around you? Look at not only just the physical results, the wins and the losses, because those have kind of ebbed and flowed the last few years, but look at the pitching. Look at the way the last few years that your pitching has started to break down as they go through many a start and many a relief appearance where all of a sudden, instead of three outs, now I have to throw four outs. Now I have to face an extra batter, two batters, three batters. I'm giving up unearned runs. I know that these are indirect consequences, but these are the kind of things that add up when you have a team that has a subpar infield defense and the subpar infield defensive nature of this team can be tracked directly back to Devers and to a certain extent to Trevor Story being unhealthy. So it's a frustrating lack of understanding of what your group is trying to do here. And I see the acquisition of Alex Bregman as twofold relating to Raffy Devers. And these are not new takes by any stretch of the imagination. It's shoring up the defense at a position that's been a black hole for you for a half decade, if not more. Yep. And it's bringing in an adult in the room, because it's clear that last year when you tried to kind of hand the keys over to Devers for this to be his team, you faltered. And the post-Bogarts era has been a bit of a mess under the guy that was supposed to be your leader. So I see two different indictments that come with the Bregman signing. And as a fan, I like what he does for both of those.
Yeah, and not for nothing. Over the last 3 years, Bregman's played more games than Devers and has a higher WAR. So just throwing that out. And look at the difference, because you mentioned the adult in the room thing. I think one of the most valuable things about Alex Bregman, this dude's been a major piece of two World Series championship teams. He gets it. And look at the difference. He comes in, signs a deal, and says, I'll move positions if that's best for the team.
That's right.
He walks in the door willing to do that, whereas the other guy, who, by the way, is worse than him, is not willing to do that. And like I said, to open the show, a lot of this hinges on Christian Campbell. But if we get to March 25th or 26th and Christian Campbell is ready to go on opening day at second base, then he should be there, and Bregman should be your third baseman, and Devers should be your DH. And if he can't look at that and understand that after them talking to Bregman all winter, like, that's just, it's delusional, and it's really selfish.
You're absolutely nailed it right on the head, Johnny. I see your calls are loading and lining up at 617-779-7937. We'll get to you guys in just a moment here, as promised. Also, the text line jammed up, probably like the Mass Pike when it's covered in slush ice and has a 40-mile-per-hour limit on it over the weekend. Wild weather, wild times. Let's see, right here. 508 texter. There is another option, fellas. Trade for Vladdy. If it were only that easy. And by the way, do you want to send... Would you be so insistent on writing the course of the infield and the culture on the team so much so that you would turn around and trade your most dynamic left-handed bat so that you would have to see him 14 times a year in division? I don't think that would necessarily be an immediate option for the Red Sox. That is suboptimal, to say the least. But if you bring Vladdy to town, I still think he'll hit 50 home runs at Fenway as well. 603, boys. Today's players don't think about we. They only think about me. And another one from a different 603 number. Listen to Bregman's press conference and then listen to Raffy's. You'll quickly understand why one of them has been a consistent winner. And look, Bregman just got paid. He's got a couple World Series in pocket, and maybe that's his DNA. I don't know if this is Raffy's emotional nature. Seems to be the most most emphatic he's actually been since he's been called upon to be sort of a de facto leader. And yeah, I do think the Red Sox have had to course correct multiple times from the mistakes that they've made years ago with John Lester, and then, you know, paying for other pitchers that they didn't necessarily want, like David Price, who didn't fit in the same way. And then, of course, you deal away Mookie Betts, and they've been scrambling to try to replace that talent. And now they're able to shore up something that has been a constant nag. The defense of the Red Sox on the infield has been comedically bad at times. Like, insert the Curb Your Enthusiasm or Benny Hill music here during the highlights. Bob Lobel era, terrible. And now they have a chance to not only add power to the infield, but also shore up the defense. You could even try to pitch this to Raffy Devers as, you don't have to worry about playing defense. You can be the new David Ortiz. We're going to be a much better team. Everything about this is going to make life so much easier for you. And you're going to come out almost with a sympathetic vote, like, oh, look at what Raffy Devers did, everyone. The definition of selfless. What a team player. He was willing to step aside for a superior defensive player, and now he concentrates on his hitting, and he's absolutely mashing. Hell, he could put together an MVP season, and instead now it's 2-18 on President's Day, and we're wondering exactly, John, how they're going to fix this mess.
Yeah, and I think, too, like, there's a texter from the 413 who says, you know, Devers will eventually, he'll end up coming around. And that's very possible, right?
I hope so.
February, like, because I would not trade Devers unless this gets to a point where there's open infighting between him and Bregman and Cora. But, like, this is also something that 3 or 4 weeks from now, maybe Christian Campbell's not ready. Maybe they want to put Campbell in left field. Or maybe they're at a point where Devers kind of accepts it and moves to a DH role. And also, too, if you're Masataka Yoshida, you can't really love hearing all this either.
No.
But
granted,
he's probably like, hello, I get paid $18 million.
He probably hasn't loved the conjecture about himself for about 6 months now.
Yeah, at least. And look, it's the comments are selfish. They're kind of delusional. But it's also comments that, can they come around and get back on the same track and be okay? Like, That's possible too. So that's why I don't want to sit here and be like, oh, they should trade him for Vlad Jr. this afternoon, or they should trade him for Dylan Cease and someone else this afternoon. But it's something like this is going to now be the biggest storyline for the next 3 weeks of spring training. And it's too bad because you have Garrett Crochet, you have Alex Bregman, you have three good young players, probably at least one, if not two of them, will be on your opening day roster. You guys, you have a team that can go to the ALCS.
Yeah.
Well, if they stay healthy and Crochet could throw 175, like, they can go to the ALCS, but what are we going to talk about? And it's not just us. Like, what are Red Sox fans, what is people around baseball going to be talking about the next 3 weeks? This.
I don't know if I'm wrong in saying this, Fitzy, but I feel like after the Bregman signing was made, wasn't it more of just it was a foregone conclusion that he was going to at least start the season at second base? This was more of a conversation, I think, at least on our show of all right, it's a foregone conclusion he's going to be there. We talked more before the signing of where Bregman would play than when the signing was actually done. It kind of just felt like, all right, you've signed your second baseman, at least for the short term.
Yeah, and that's a good point, too, that you make, John, about, you know, Christian Campbell can have a whole lot to say about this because Trevor Story's coming back. Now, we've all gone to that well several times. We have all tried to kick that football that Lucy has planted in the ground. And we know what happens time and time again. Whatever accident was karmically left over that Chris Sale didn't run into, Trevor Story was able to find, and he never completes a season. But maybe, just maybe, he'll be okay. And I don't know if it's going to be Grissom or it could be Campbell. Like, if Campbell comes out and absolutely just tears the cover off the baseball and is a freaking phenom, like we've heard with people saying this guy has all the tools and then some, like, he may not be a five-tool player. He could be on the cusp of discovering a sixth, seventh, and eighth. What the hell are you supposed to do? Tell Bregman to DH? Tell him to rotate with Yoshida? That's not what you brought him here for. Alex Cora insisted that ownership overspend and give the opt-outs to Alex Bregman because of the leadership and because of the defense, addressing some of the many problems this team has had and what they have lacked the last several years. And if this is just going to be sort of a knee-jerk reactionary thing for Devers today, and that eventually he'll come around and you may have to move Yoshida, maybe that's what points to something that we'll get to on the other side. Sam Kennedy saying earlier from Fort Myers, we're not done yet. What that may be, what those moves are, we shall see. We will get to Sam Kennedy's audio. We'll get to audio from Alex Cora, more from Rafael Devers, and you guys who are all lined up to talk some Sox and Devers on a President's Day out here in Red Sox Nation at 617-779-7937. It's Fitzy, it's Ball and Lyons here with you on WEEI Afternoons. Let's get you caught up on everything trending in the wide world of Boston sports right now with the one and only Dan Ball.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com, brought to you by Ortho Laser New England. The Four Nations face-off shifts to TD Garden in Boston today. Right now, Canada leads Finland 3-0. If Canada beats Finland in regulation, it will guarantee themselves a spot in the Four Nations final against the United States on Thursday night at 8 p.m. Tonight at 8, meanwhile, the undefeated United States takes on Sweden. Sweden is 0-2, but both of those games have been decided in overtime. Matthew Tkachuk is out tonight for the U.S., but is expected to play in the finals on Thursday. The NBA's refreshed All-Star Game format finished with a familiar result for Golden State Warriors star Steph Curry, being presented with the Kobe Bryant Trophy as the All-Star MVP. Curry scored 12 points in Team OG's 41-25 victory on Sunday in the first of 40 finale against the Global Stars to win the league's new round-robin tournament to cap off the weekend's festivities. Mass Live's Sean McAdam and Underdog's Jared Karabas have both reported that the Red Sox have checked in with the San Diego Padres on the availability of starting pitcher Dylan Cease. Cease finished fourth in Cy Young voting last season and is a free agent after the 2025 campaign. Also from earlier today, here is Red Sox president and CEO Sam Kennedy on what's left to do in the offseason.
We're not done yet, so really been focused on the build of the organization, and we're hopeful that we're going to get back to the postseason.
So is everybody, Sam. From earlier in the weekend, the Denver Broncos have hired former New Orleans Saints interim head coach Darren Rizzi as their new special teams coordinator, and the Jaguars have settled on five finalists for their vacant general manager position and will begin in-person interviews on Wednesday. Four of the candidates are external, coming from the 49ers, Rams, Bears, and Packers, respectively. If joint pain has you sidelined, do what Lou Maloney did. Get back in the game without surgery at Ortho Laser New England. Online at OrthoLaserNE.com. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Oh, I thought the chill running down my spine was from the 40 to 60 mile per hour gusts that were ripping through and whipping by the Commonwealth and all over New England today. But no, it was the ice cold demeanor of Alex Cora saying that someone else promised the third base time to Rafi Devers when he signed the contract and that Heim Bloom was in St. Louis now. Oh, that was ice cold. And you know what? I freaking loved it, boys, because that's what leadership is all about. That's the fit, committed, well-compensated Alex Cora, manager of your Boston Red Sox, who incidentally will be joining us on Wednesdays here in season on WEEI Afternoons, putting his foot in the sand, whipping it out and saying, I'm running this tip. Hey, look at me. I'm the captain now. In my estimation, John Lyons, that's exactly what this team needs right now as they are trying to chart a new course, or at least a course that used to be familiar, and that is towards winning, being efficient, and productive.
How about sticking the knife right in Heim Bloom's back after you got him fired like 2 years? And it's not the only reason he got fired, but like he gets fired, he goes to St. Louis. Woo! And, you know, as by the way, like one of the prospects we're talking about in this whole situation is a Heim Bloom prospect, right? Christian Campbell. And just like, yeah, Heim's in St. Louis. I don't care about you, dude. Like, whatever. Like, that is, it's a... Yeah. That's like, you know, I almost got to tip my cap to Cora on that one. That's like a master class. And let me stick the knife in Heim Bloom, and the knife will go through Heim Bloom into Devers at the same time. And yeah, Devers, you suck at third base, so I might make a change because I'm not the GM that overpaid you and traded Mookie Betts and let Xander Bogaerts walk. That was the other guy in St. Louis. Like, whew, That was a sneaky. It's not Bill Belichick saying we're not talking about open heart surgery here. It's not that level.
That's still the all-timer
that's
to me.
That's the all-time Dick comment of the century. But
I still maintain we'll do Pats later. We don't need to revisit and legislate that again. But to me, that had to have been the moment where Brady was like, "Guy, my thumb was literally hanging off." Brian Hoyer thought he had to start. I went out and had the fourth quarter of my life, and the best I could get from you was. It's not open heart surgery.
So it doesn't rise to that level, but that's a really nice little knife twisting quote. You get two guys at once, like, oh,
not too petty, just petty enough.
The right amount of petty.
Just the perfect, the perfect blend.
Somewhere between Tom and Kyle. Just the right amount of petty. All right, let's jump to the phones. Let's hear from the good people of Red Sox Nation, kind enough to check in with us on one of our fabulous affiliates, the Odyssey app, or maybe 93.7 FM here in Boston. First up today, let's go up to New Hampshire, the 603, where Aiden is in Portsmouth and wants to talk Devers. What up, Aiden?
Hey, guys, how's it going? So, yeah, everything that you're saying, I'm doing well, thanks. I'm actually on my way back into work. But everything that you guys are saying, it is selfish of Devers. I do hope he comes around and changes his mind. I do think that there should be some kind of thing thrown out there where he can still mix in at third base with Bregman. And then the other thing is about it is when it comes to leadership is he's been here for how long and he still has to speak to Boston through an interpreter. When he learned English, he knows it, but he's too scared to talk to us because he's worried that, you know, he's going to say the wrong thing, something of that nature. I don't know, but that's another thing. He hasn't been a leader. He has a chance to be a leader now. And if he doesn't want to be a leader, I'll go on record saying that the Red Sox aren't going to be a World Series team. They're not going to beat the Dodgers over the next few years if Masataka Yoshida is the DH and if Devers is at third base. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. Appreciate the call, Aiden, and it's not a bad point at all, because if this team has to bend to the will, you guys, of one particular player, if they are able to, if they kowtow to Devers, and it certainly doesn't sound like Alex Cora is going to, but if they bend to his insistence and will and say, okay, well, you used to be, well, it's the biggest contract, but you don't have the highest average annual value, but we told you you're a star, and, well, we can't go back on the commitment and word of someone else, then that just sends the worst message possible, because then everybody else can cry, bitch, and whine however much they want. And then in turn, they'll get what they want. And instead of a collective unified effort as a team, it's just going to be 25 dinners, 25 cabs, and 25 competing agendas, Dan.
So, unfortunately, the Red Sox, Fitzy, aren't the World Series archetype that everybody measures themselves up to right now. So, to make the comparison, I have to go to a current World Series champion, which is the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. And I know this is a name that is set in the shadows in Boston. So, I'll use two names that are used in the shadows in Boston. That's Mookie Betts, and that's Kike Hernandez. Those are two players, and Betts is the specific example that's the better comparison. He signs a big deal with the Los Angeles Dodgers, and during the course of the year this year, he played right. He probably played a little center. Then he played second base. Then he played shortstop. There may have been more that was there for an inning at a time. The money's there. You were signed because you're an incredible hitter, and I fully understand why John Henry was bullied by fans at Red Sox Winter Weekend a couple years ago to sign that contract, and I'm fully understanding by that.
Yep.
Your star players, the true star players that are leaders, are able to make that concession, and I'm relieved that Alex Cora said the thing that he said off the top of the show, because it seems as though he has been empowered, or he's going to empower himself to make the decision that he needs to. And my answer to Devers in that situation isn't, well, maybe we'll work you back into third base. My answer, John, is too damn bad. You have your contract. You're on this team. You play where we tell you to play.
And another weird piece of this, too, like for Devers to say this on February 17th, there's a chance this could have worked itself out without being an issue. Like if Christian Campbell wasn't ready, which, again, is still up in the air, then Bregman just would have played second base, and this wouldn't have been an issue. Like, he could have sat there and just said, hey, I'm just, you know, worried about getting better and helping the team win. And even if he felt this way deep down, and again, we always want athletes to be honest, so we can't really bitch and complain about it being honest. But what I'm saying is, there's a chance this could work itself out without, or maybe they say, oh, we'll put Campbell in left field, you know, or whatever. Like, he didn't even need to say this right now. And
right.
Be like, or, and I wonder, too, did the Red Sox go to him before the Bregman signing and say, hey, we're going to sign this guy. There's a chance he could play third. From reports I've seen, they didn't really talk to him until after, which the Red
That's
Sox...
That's a bad idea,
The Red
John.
Sox should have known better. But like I said last segment, like, Devers, you're an adult. Have some common sense. They've been talking to Bregman since November. You don't think this could come up? Like, why wouldn't it come up? He's a 30-year-old guy. He's going to sign a multi-year deal. I don't think he's going to opt out after year one. And even if he does opt out after year one, again, this is a team that's good enough to make the ALCS, and you're just like, no, I'm not moving. No, not to. It's just, it's a whole
bad precedent to set. It would be a terrible precedent to
set. And think about it, this is an organization that did not cater to Manny Ramirez, didn't pick up his option, and he was pissed, and they were right. Did not cater to John Lester. They were wrong. Did not cater to Mookie Betts. They were wrong. Like, they've never really catered to anyone in the past, unless you guys could think of an example I can't think of. I mean, you mentioned David Ortiz in the World Series playing first base. Like, Kevin Millar had to miss World Series games so David Ortiz could play first base.
And he was the emotional fulcrum and rallying point, but you couldn't not have David Ortiz's bat in the lineup.
Like,
exactly. They've made bold moves before for the betterment of the team, and no one wants to see Raffy shipped out of town, and we're not suggesting or supposing as much. But sometimes you have to do what's in the best interest of the team, you know, of very familiar words around here, Dan, obviously from the days of Belichick, do your job, insert, you know, team-centric proletariat line here. And also, that is a great point on Mookie Betts. It's a tough name to go back to for Sox fans. The dude's willing to play second base, shortstop, DH, left, right, center, whatever. He's getting paid his money, and you know what he wants to do? Just what Adrian asked Rocky to do at the end of Rocky II from the hospital bed. Win. That's all that matters. Just win, not like, oh, this is where I'm most comfortable and it's all about me. I can't do it. Let's
even look back. Like, forget about Mookie Betts. Go back to a few years ago. Kyle Schwarber played first base in the ALCS because that was the best thing.
And
for
it was
the team.
It looked
and it
rough.
Was not great. Yeah. No, but like the point is he was willing.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, back to the phones we go, boys. Next up, Steve is in Westerly. What's going on down in Rhode Island there, Steve?
Well, it's windy here, and I'm right on the ocean, and it's very, very windy.
Crazy.
Memo to Devers, know your fan base. We've tolerated your poor defense because you've got a big bat, because you're a Yankee killer, because we love it that you smack yourself in the helmet when you foul one off. And you know what? And it's okay that you don't want to be the spokesman. I get it. He's afraid, even if he knows the language and understands it, he's afraid that he might misspeak and step in it. That's all fine and dandy. But now you've got something to say. Here's the problem, Raphael. The first time you airmail one into the second row, the boos are going to come raining down. And he hasn't heard those before, at least not that I can recall. So he could be in for a whole new Fenway Park that he hasn't had to deal with because of, dare I say, a little bit of selfishness.
It's a very fair point, Steve. Thanks very much. Let's hope he doesn't pull a Chuck Knoblauch and break the glasses of Keith Olbermann's mom, as was famously done in Yankee Stadium 26 years ago. Look, he's got all of spring training to rethink his posture on the entire subject, to work out at third base, to maybe grow, see if he, you know, maybe they can sit down, have a couple conversations about, can I play a little bit? I don't want to abandon it entirely. I'm not ready to just let my defensive skills go gently into that good Fenway night. You know, there are a million different ways they can go, but if we're just going to be honest, like I said earlier on the crossover with Mego and Jones, no fat shaming, no body shaming, none of that nonsense, but like, third base is a tough spot to play. It's a really tough spot. You know, I understand, you know, Pablo Sandoval used to play great third base for the Giants and was a postseason stud. He came over here, then couldn't field the ball for love, sex, or money. You know, Raffy Devers isn't doing himself any service by showing up not necessarily, you know, just look at Bregman and look at Devers and say, which one of these two guys averages almost 20 errors a year and which one of these guys has a gold glove? I mean, you tell me, John.
Yeah, and it's interesting, like, this is an organization that went from Bill Miller at third base to Mike Lowell, an elite defender, to Kevin Youkilis, and Devers has been a problem defender, not just last year, the year before, his entire career. He's led the AL in errors at third base seven straight season. I mean, his defensive runs saved, I know it's all analytic-y stuff, but it's like 80 runs behind what Alex Bregman is. And another piece about Devers, too, This has happened multiple times over the past 5 years, is he'll be really bad defensively in April and kind of get better as the year goes on. Still never be great, but really bad in April and get a little better. If he's third base in April and really bad, to the caller's point, it's going to get rough for him at Fenway Park if he's bad.
Yeah, and they went from cheering for him to be signed and booing John Henry to potentially turning against him as well. And when he's like, you know, Hart and I have got debated and gone over this for ages now on our weekend shows and whatnot, holidays, etc. Like, if you were going to get your kid, I know I'm, you know, you guys are a bunch of dinks, double income, no kids, and I'm the only knucklehead with a couple kids.
I don't know. I'm a radio producer. I'm about a half income, no kids.
Okay,
fair enough.
I'm a hink.
Yes, I know. So we got a hink and a dink and, you know, old washed out Fitzy over here. Yeah. But, you know, who do you buy a jersey of around? Like, I bet Bregman jerseys will probably be flying off the shelves in great anticipation of what he's going to do for the team this year. Hopefully next year and the year after, you see the Campbell jerseys and the Anthony jerseys, maybe even the Mayer jerseys flying out. Devers has had this chance to, like, grab the spotlight and be him. And it just hasn't happened. I mean, people love him. Don't get me wrong. He's still super good. But anyway, we were going to get into the All-Star game stuff, and we were going to crap all over that and do the Four Nations. We're going to push that off a little more because we still have calls. Still a lot to get to here. And, of course, don't forget, 4:30, Jen McCaffrey, Red Sox beat reporter from Mass Live, is kind enough to join us with a fresh report live from Fort Myers. In the 5 o'clock hour, our pal Bridget Prue from Sunday Skate and the Skate Pod is going to check in and give us a little vibe check from the Garden as Canada versus Finland wraps up. And before we kick things off tonight at 8 o'clock for USA versus Sweden, it's Ball, it's Fitzy, it's the Lion's Den, and you here on WEEI Afternoons.
This is WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
Newly acquired Red Sox infielder, Alex Bregman there speaking to the assembled smaller Red Sox media down there in Fort Myers earlier, talking about Pedroia, little Petey, on the recruitment tour there, Dan, actually helping bring Bregman to town. Not that he needed much more convincing than Alex Cora, Sam Kennedy, Sox fans. Oh, wait, and $120 million cash plus two opt-outs. But nice to hear that people that used to be in it for the greater good, though selfish they may have seemed, they were all about winning, actually trying to appeal to other people that could come here and help make a difference with the Sox.
Maybe it's just a size thing, and maybe I'm being offensive against short folks, but I work with Andy Hart every day, so I'm used to that.
Let it be known, the first shot across the bow of Team Hart was not from me. Thank you very much.
No, I figured I'd get it out of the way early, but maybe it's just a stature thing. But when I saw them unveil Alex Bregman for the first time, when he was walking through the locker room and he put on his you know, his spring training, his batting practice shirt and his pants and his cleats for the first time, put on the hat, was walking around, am I the only one that got a little bit of Pedroia vibes just from watching him carry himself and watching him, just seeing the stature of the guy walking? Maybe it's just he's a veteran amongst a bunch of younger guys, and I think of Pedroia being a veteran the last time he was playing, but I don't know. I kind of got that
he's
vibe.
He's the little engine that could.
I don't know. I love everything I've seen so far.
Yeah, they both were at Arizona State.
I
love all the connections, John. I'm here for all of them, baby.
It's actually true.
I've loved it so far.
For Pedroia.
I really have. Maybe that's just me. I don't know.
Frustrated as we are about the Devers comments and all that today, like, it shouldn't also cloud us from the fact that this team is much better than they were 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Like with Crochet, with I'd add in Walker Buehler as well. Like the stuff we mentioned about Bregman being a two-time World Series winner and how valuable that is in the lineup. Same thing about Walker Buehler with the pitching staff. And obviously Bregman himself, the kids that we've heard about for like 9 years, it feels like now. So this is a much better baseball team. They just got to get this situation sorted out. And like I said earlier, I wouldn't be surprised, guys, if it kind of sorts itself out a little bit. But if not, that's going to be their challenge of spring training. It's not, hey, where are we going to find good pitching from like years past? Or, hey, how are we going to be able to play defense? Or how are we going to... It's just, this situation is that one thing they're going to have to sort out between now and opening day in late March.
So I want to ask a question to both of you, if you don't mind, because we've kind of danced around the Christian Campbell second base conversation within the context of Devers and Bregman. So Fitzy, I want to throw it to you first on this. Do you let the chips fall where they may, depending on a hot camp or a cold camp for a guy like Christian Campbell, or are you making a decision on the third base and the second base alignment regardless, where you tell Alex Bregman, hey, you're our opening day third baseman no matter what. You're moving Rafael Devers to DH, and if Campbell makes it, great. If not, you give Vaughn Grissom a chance. Maybe you give David Hamilton a chance until he's ready in AAA. How do you play out that conversation if you were calling these shots?
Considering the amnesty that Bregman has bought himself coming into camp as the new guy in town, though he's a well-established and vested veteran, by saying like he's open to playing third, he'll play second base. Those were the stories about him coming in. So you've got his goodwill to work with right now. I let it play out. I think I'm kind of on Team Lions on this one. Like, I let this kind of sort itself out, because if Christian Campbell comes in and is just an absolute force of nature, like, you know, if he's Mookie Betts 2.0, or if he dominates Crossing Sports, if you'll allow. Remember 2012, like Matt Flynn signs this giant deal with the Seattle Seahawks, and in comes this hotshot fourth-round quarterback from North Carolina State via Wisconsin named Russell Wilson, who just smoked the preseason, got the job, and then, you know, a couple of years later, he's a Super Bowl champion. Let the kid play, let it play out, and let him dictate that, uh-oh, sorry, guys, you're going to have to break camp and start the season with me at second, because I'm even better than Lou Merlone and everyone else told you I was. Now figure out this third base thing and leave it up to Cora and Kennedy and everyone else to start the conversation. They've had him with Bregman, obviously. Now they're going to have to plant more seeds and have fewer awkward press conferences from Rafi Devers. That's my two cents.
Yeah, and Johnny? I think you have to have second base sorted out first, because their middle infield defense has been terrible for 2 years now, if not more. It's cost them multiple games. And Cora said this himself, the double plays are game changers, whether you ground into them when you're hitting or you turn them when you're in the field. So they need an answer at second base first. So if Christian Campbell proves he can turn double plays and play good second base, fine, put him there and start him on the opening day roster. But if not, then keep Bregman there. I don't want Vaughn Grissom at second base. I mean, what did they have? Like six different guys play second base last year. And of course, I know they had the shortstop issue with Trevor Story getting hurt. And then they had Hamilton for a while, then Rafaela. Like this middle infield defense, if Story is healthy, I know it's an if, but if Story's there and you have a good, reliable option at second base, you're a much better defensive team. And then, of course, Duran behind them in center field. All of a sudden, you went from being a really bad team up the middle 2 years ago to a really good team up the middle now. And that's the most important thing. So they have to sort out second base first. And I also wonder, and Chris Cotillo of Mass Live tweeted this about 10 minutes ago, is this a subtle hint that the organization really believes, or at least wants, Campbell to be on that opening day roster? Like, they're kind of setting that up already. They think he's got that potential right now. They're going to see how it goes, but they're kind of setting it up already.
There's a couple degrees of separation on that, Fitzy. Just real quick, that's an interesting point that's brought up, where I guess, John, the implication on that is Christian Campbell has impressed or is expected to impress, and so the internal conversation with Rafael Devers has been, there's a chance you're not our third baseman, and therefore he feels the need to publicly come out and defend his turf. Is that kind of what's being implied by that? I would not be surprised in the slightest if that was a conversation that was. Am I misreading that at all?
I think it's probably I don't think you are. I don't think you're misreading that. I think confidence is supremely high. I think I've heard, and I think we all kind of believe, that of this holy trinity of Sox prospects that are supposed to be the future at Fenway, between Campbell, Anthony, and Mayer, they're going to make the team in order of Campbell, Anthony, and Mayer. And the most likely to make the team to break Fort Myers in Fenway would be Christian Campbell. It's up to him. And luckily, thanks to John Lyon sending a nice early text message earlier today, Jen McCaffrey is kind enough to join us from Fort Myers and weigh in with what the vibes are and how he's looking and what Sox management and more are thinking down that way. Let's grab one quick call, boys, before we reset and refresh for the 3 o'clock hour. Jeff is in Watertown. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. How you doing? To me, this is Carver means business. The team means business. When he made those comments, I think the team is ready to make a move. He doesn't care. I mean, I like Devers. I think, we paid him to be a hitter. I think he's a transcendent hitter. I want him to stay on the team. But if trading him makes the team better, it makes the team better. I just really feel like, this is a positive move. I mean, I think he's, by saying this, he's like, the team comes first. I don't care who. And I agree with you, John, that, you start with Bregman at second. We'd rather be strong up the middle. That's where you want your defense, first of all. So you start there, and if it proves that Campbell can come in, you move him to third, and then you decide about Devers. But, I'd like to keep Devers as a DH, but if he doesn't want to stay, then you trade him and we move on. But I think the team means business.
There we go. Thank you very much, Jeff. Appreciate the call, my friend. All right, boys, let's pay a couple bills. When we come back, let's get into, I know it seems fait accompli at the Garden right now, the way that Canada has been taking Finland to the proverbial woodshed down there at the TD Garden as well. But Saturday night, I feel like, and I'm sure some will chalk this up to good old-fashioned Fitzy-style hyperbole, I feel like, yeah, sure, there was a disturbance in the ice hockey force, if you will, but I feel like we may have seen not only something that will change hockey, but change all-star games and the way these international competitions and best-ofs are formatted for the long term, and I think that is a good thing. Just four nations, three fights, 9 seconds, what an impact that may have had and how excited everybody is for the possible rematch this coming Thursday. It's Dan Ball, John Lyons, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and you here on WEEI Afternoons. Please, don't go anywhere.